Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Should we start worrying a bit about the 49ers? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So yesterday, some news coming out of the 49ers. Pearl, one, George Kittle is going on IR. So that's never a good thing. Even though Kittle's older, he's what, 32, you know, they gave him more money this offseason. I think they were still expecting him to be a massive part of the offense.
Yeah, he looked good in the first half.
And then he was out for the rest of the game, and now he's on IR for the next 4 weeks. And also, obviously, Brock Purdy is dealing with some injury issues. Now, the shoulder is the non-throwing shoulder, so right. You can rest easy on that. But Kyle Shanahan said yesterday that his toe is actually worse than the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I know that Brock Purdy's not Lamar Jackson out there, but still, your toe and your feet, very, very important, obviously, when so much of your quarterbacking is your lower body. So
yeah, you push off on that toe.
It's a big deal. It's not great. However, on the flip side, and I thought of you immediately because you were begging for this basically all year, last year, that Jake Moody was actually waived by the team. The third round draft pick, kicker, missed two kicks against the Seahawks, a field goal and a PAT, and he was waived. Eddie Pinheiro's now in.
That's unbelievable. Him and the guy that was kicking for the Bills ought to hang out. Matt Prater, right?
Like, yeah, Eddie Pinheiro's a little older.
How long has he been kicking in this league? One thing about the Niners, especially, is not just the kicker. Ed, the entire unit is awful. And by the way, one of the missed field goals was on everybody. Everybody screwed up. There's something like Kyle Shanahan should be firing special teams coaches every 3 weeks. It shouldn't just be the players.
Well, they brought in a new guy this year.
Yeah, and they paid all these guys. They should fire him immediately. Like Kyle Shanahan, I don't know if he goes to the special teams meetings. I think he's too focused on it. He's got to get in there and treat this like the five-alarm fire it is. And it's not just the kicker. It is up and down that unit. They stink.
Well, they get pushed back a little bit. You know, I think that was one of the big criticisms is it's obviously Jake Moody is the one who's going to wear it because he's the one who's standing there after this kick sails to the left.
Yeah. Last year, every punt was returned to its full extent. Every time the kickoff was returned to the 40, like, yeah, they have a lot of problems with special teams.
Well, new rules aren't gonna help them there.
But now everybody has
a lot of kick returns. Yeah, now everybody has starting at the 40.
So again, like Jake Moody's gone, but I feel like this panic, and there's a little bit of it from you, not total panic. This panic about the Niners after a Week 1 victory is a little much for me. Like, why is everybody all of a sudden like, oh man, what's wrong with my Niners? They won the game. Well, they shouldn't have, but they did.
Yeah, they did win the game. I am worried because I picked them to win the Super Bowl, and I now feel like a little bit of a dope, but it's not really about me. I mean, they still have this, you know, easy on paper schedule.
Yeah.
I think what I miscalculated here is the fact that they did have a little bit of churn on the roster, which I think was a good thing, right? There was an element of you do have to bring in some new blood, and I understand that, but they still are relying, especially on offense, for guys who are older to be a big part of the offense. Now, that's not the Ricky Pearsalls and the young guys. Ayuk's not going to be back for a while.
That hurts.
But for Kittle and then for McCaffrey, like, you know, I was kind of hoping what I would see was Christian McCaffrey being used a little bit more sparingly in that opening game.
Yeah.
That was not the case.
No.
He was the offense.
I think he led the league in touches or usage or whatever you call it.
On pace for like 500 touches if they kept this up this year. Like, that just can't be for a guy who has the injury history that he has.
No, that's definitely scary. But weren't you encouraged by the defense? The fact that the Seahawks were supposed to have this great running game got nowhere on that defensive line, which has been, that defensive line didn't fall apart, but it took a major step back over the last 2 years. Robert Saleh gets back. He looks at the defensive line. He says, you're all cut. He basically got rid of everybody who was on the interior of the defensive line, brought in new guys, and they were stout. So honestly, I am looking at that Niners defense and seeing more optimism than I think generally people are, because they're too focused on Purdy and McCaffrey. Purdy, small, hurt, Kittle out. Okay, now it's up to Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. We'll see if the rookie is out of Georgia is any good. Mikel Williams, like, there's potential that they could switch the narrative and be more of a defensive team this year.
Yeah, that's all well and good, but there's a lot of good defenses in the NFC. Like, you have a good defense, that's just going to put you right on par with the Rams and the Green Bay Packers and your Philadelphia Eagles. Like, you know...
But think of 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, that Niners defense was ferocious. They were leading the way. They were the number one defense in the league.
I get it, but I don't know if you're enjoying that. Like, is that going to really be the differentiator for you in the NFC with all these other good defenses out there? Like, look at what the Vikings just did. Like, there are some really amazing defenses. Peyton Manning, I did not see this because I don't watch the Manning cast anymore, but maybe I should. It's just awkward that they're all in the same place. Anyway, Peyton Manning was talking about Brian Flores' defense, and he's like, I spent 18 years in the NFL, and I had no idea what I was seeing there. I thought they were in man. I would have sworn they were in man coverage. Turns out they went into some weird zone. He's like, there's no way Caleb Williams would have been able to figure that out if I couldn't figure it out.
Well, and so, counterpoint, Brian Flores got torched by the Lions or the Rams in week 18 in the playoffs last year. So,
fair.
I mean, some people can figure out Brian Flores. 3 years ago, the Niners were winning, led by Nick Bosa in that defense. He was the MVP of the team along with McCaffrey. I think they need to get back to that. They need a balance because last year, Brock Purdy was throwing it all over the field trying to make up for the defense.
Yeah, and they won six games. It's not what you want. I guess the other part, too, I'm a little concerned about the 49ers. Again, after picking them to win the Super Bowl in their home stadium, you were kind of hoping, if you're a 49er fan, that last year was a blip. You know, you're in the Super Bowl in overtime against the Chiefs. Then you have the 6-11 season, I guess. Do math, Mags. You're hoping that's just a temporary setback and that you'd be right back into the mix this year. At least that was my expectation after you pay Brock Purdy and you're handing out $75 million to Kittle and McCaffrey is back and all of it. And you have to be a little... I know they won the game. I get that they won the game. But with the news that's coming out now, you have to... And the history of injuries kind of snowballing on this team, you just hope that... This blip doesn't extend into a two-year thing.
Definitely. You know, all I could say is recent history is they get to the Super Bowl 2019, lose. 2020 is the worst injury year they've ever had. Nick Mullins was trying to right the ship, and it wasn't working. The next year, they're 10-7, get to the NFC title game. So led solely by their defense, by the way. So maybe they don't need to be 15-2. Maybe they can get into the playoffs where Kyle Shanahan is great in the early rounds. That's a bit of a dig there. Yeah. He's great until it's late in the Super Bowl. He's amazing. So I think with that easy schedule, they get into the tournament and you can squint and see everybody getting healthy. Ayuk will be back, and now you compare him with Pearsall. Purdy hopefully will be back again. But I'm going back to my statement from yesterday. We got to see the Mac Jones experiment. Come on, people. Who's with me? Who's with
me? Nobody.
Mac Jones.
Nobody is with you.
McCorkle Jones back in the helm, or whatever that expression is. He's going to be amazing. I was listening to Adam Schefter's podcast, and he said, and he reiterated, he's like, when the Niners traded up to number 3 in the 2021 draft, it was solely to draft Mac Jones. Kyle Shanahan has coveted this guy since watching him at Alabama, so I need to see if this would actually be something.
Man, there's so much there with that, like, but still, I mean, all these years later, because first of all, they probably would have been wrong, right? Like, they were wrong on Trey Lance. They traded all those picks to get up to Trey Lance. They were wrong on that, right?
Yeah.
Lance was getting injured. They couldn't go with him. Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, takes his job. Well, first Jimmy Garoppolo, then Purdy takes his job. Would they have been right on Mac Jones? Like, it could have been similarly as wrong. Like, we don't know if Mac's going to be any good.
Could have been similarly as right as Brock Purdy.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, Mac Jones, like, part of the reason that he rankled Bill Belichick, and I know Belichick's got, like, no fans anymore, but, like, when things started to go sideways and he started to have issues, he was, like, calling the staff at Alabama and, like, kind of freelancing a little bit, and it got worse and worse and worse. And Josh McDaniels left and all of that. So, like, I think Josh McDaniels had, I know Josh McDaniels doesn't have a lot of fans right now, but if he had stayed in New England rather than taking that Raiders job, maybe Mac Jones isn't a backup. Maybe he's still a starter. I don't know.
Well, it's hard to judge because that Patriots team was a mess.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see if the Kyle Shanahan magic can work. I mean, let's face it, if Brock Purdy had landed with another coach, he probably wouldn't be a starter in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan does have this thing going on.
Yes, he does.
So maybe... I am generally curious, like, wow, could he even be good enough to save Mac Jones, who looked... He didn't look like the worst quarterback of all time last year. He was fine. He looked almost exactly the same as Trevor Lawrence. That team was just terrible back and forth last year. So I'm not judging anything on that.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Now, they play the Saints this week. So, you know, the Saints hung in there for a half with Arizona, and then...
That game could be tricky for the Niners.
Did you guys see something? Yeah. Not to pause on the Saints for a second. Yeah. I was looking, tooling around on the old website PFF, you know, really for the nerds, but just trying to check out. Do you know who had the second highest quarterback rating of, or like was the second best PFF grade amongst all the second year quarterbacks last week?
Well, based on this question, I can
deduce that it was Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, he looked good.
So Jaden Daniels was the first, not a shock there. Spencer Rattler was their second highest rated second year quarterback. Then Caleb, which I was a little surprised. Then Drake May, who I thought looked terrible. Yeah. Why are you guys such nerds? Then Penix, McCarthy, and then Bo Nix. This is where the eye test doesn't match up sometimes with what you see. Because I thought Drake May had a terrible game in week one.
Well, we know Bo Nix played bad because he had the two picks. McCarthy didn't really do much.
McCarthy was terrible until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, McCarthy didn't do much. So Caleb, like I mentioned this before the show, a lot of tape people said Caleb was better than you think. And I totally agree with that. And by the way, Caleb was not bad. He had 210 yards, one touchdown, zero picks. He definitely wasn't bad. I mean, listen, the guy made a bunch of plays in the first half with his legs.
At one point he was, 10 for 10? Didn't he start off?
Yeah, he started out 10 for 10. And also, too, he broke out of, eight different tackles.
But he never got into a rhythm. Maybe that was Brian Flores' defense.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised PFF has him, too. Spencer Rattler was really good. Now, the thing about it, I watched a ton of that Saints game. I have no idea why. One thing, Chris Olave has to retire. I am so sorry, but every time he goes out there, he takes Rattler threw him one. I think it was in the end zone. He just took the hardest hit I've ever seen. It really is hard to watch. Rattler is not throwing to anybody, and he's doing a nice job. The last play of the game, he almost threw this 20-yard dot, and the guy dropped it. They could have tied the game. He's interesting, but they're not going to win anything. What do you do if New Orleans wants a number one pick, right?
I would imagine. I mean, so this is where San Francisco, even if Brock Purdy doesn't play, which I think he's going to, the non-throwing shoulder, it's a toe. I think he'll play, but you think you could hold the fort against the Saints.
Yeah, I want to see Mac Jones. I want to know, for better or worse, is Mac Jones any good under Kyle Shanahan? I don't know the answer. And I think that your lack of support on my calling for this experiment is bothering me. Get with the McCorkle Jones bandwagon.
No. I will not. I refuse. 888-710-4ISN. EJ, are you concerned about the 49ers?
Definitely. It just feels like this is a team that could potentially be looking for a more extreme rebuild to me. I just think, kind of like I said with the Bengals a couple of weeks ago when I said they were old news.
Yeah.
I feel even more strongly about that with the Niners.
How about a show bet? I'll show bet. Do the Niners make the playoffs? I'll take them in the postseason.
Wait a minute.
I don't think they win a game in the playoffs if they get there.
Is this where Perloff finally drinks the gallon of milk?
Yes.
I don't want to drink a gallon of milk.
Oh, okay. Well, fair.
Not oat milk either.
I don't think they win a game if they make the. They could make the playoffs at 9-8. I could see that. I just don't think they're a threat to
You
win
just
a Super
said
Bowl.
Total rebuild.
Right, I think they're steps away from being a total rebuild.
You can't
get
to the wild card game and be in a total rebuild.
Oh, I disagree. I think that you can go to a wild card game, lose, and be like, this thing is over. The Saints basically did that. The Saints were going to the playoffs at 9-8 and said, this is a waste of time. And that, now they're rebuilding.
When was that?
Oh, at the end of the Drew Brees?
They were playing in the Nickelodeon game a couple years ago.
Oh, against the Bears.
The Bears and stuff, yeah. They've been sniffing around the playoffs for the last few years. And then they pulled out. I think the Niners could be looking at that. It just feels like the health is really catching up to them.
Yeah, I don't think so because they're paying Purdy all this money. They have a lot of young guys, too. They can't really rebuild. How do you rebuild when you have a $55 million a year quarterback?
Well, maybe you feel like Purdy is young enough, and he is young enough in his career, that you have the centerpiece of the quarterback, right, and then you rebuild all around him.
How so? You're not going to have a high draft pick, and you're not going to have any cap space. Obviously, Kittle will be gone. They just got rid of Debo. I don't see that. They have a lot of Bosa and Warner are not that old. That's your two stars, right?
I mean, I just look at the rest. I just look at that NFC, which I agree with Pearl when he said yesterday that the NFC has surpassed the AFC in many ways. I look at the Lions, basically the whole NFC North, but definitely the Lions, the Packers. I look at what the Eagles have done. The Niners don't feel like they're in that class to me. Like I think the Rams are better. Like I think that there's those teams, and then the Niners are in this kind of no man's land.
You put the Commanders in there?
I'm not 100% sold on it because they're old too. Like they brought back a lot of old guys. I want to see a second year of them. But to me, like they're the Niners. You're talking about San Francisco 49ers football. I'm thinking about championship. I'm thinking about contending. And I look at them and I say, they look close to that to me. They struggled in that game. I know the defense looked great and they did. But that was too hard of a struggle against the Seahawks, who just couldn't do anything. They should have lost that game.
I'll tell you one thing. I thought the same thing 4 years ago with the Niners. I'm like, this team is going nowhere. Jimmy G is their quarterback, and then, boom, they're back. I'm telling you, this team got – Jimmy G took them to a Super Bowl. That's all you need to know about Kyle Shanahan. So I would not count them out. Maybe not this year, but at some point Shanahan will be back.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Are you similarly worried about the 49ers like EJ and myself? Maybe not
Kyle,
so much.
Shanna, I couldn't keep a lead hand.
Big friendly, the big Rams fan. Perloff.
Magsy, am I lying?
Perloff telling everybody it's going to be okay.
Well, you guys should... You should bet because you had the Niners going to Super Bowl, right? Because of the easy schedule.
Yep.
They're long. You know, they're 20-1. I think they're fifth in the NFC. You should.
I'm already there.
Put some money on that one because you could. Yeah, I'm telling you, Kyle Shanahan surprises people. Nobody saw it coming after the Jimmy G era. Like Brock Purdy is their star quarterback. He was Mr. Irrelevant, people.
I know. I just also wonder tangentially, like, does Shanahan still have the mystique? You know, we were talking about this yesterday about how many coaches do you respect in the NFL off of, what was this? Kevin O'Connell. We're talking about that. Kevin O'Connell yesterday and the fact that they keep losing in the first round of the playoffs, or they've lost twice in the first round of the playoffs, yet it doesn't stick with him at all, right? Like, nobody thinks that's a reflection on Kevin O'Connell. It's more like, let's give him another chance. Or he doesn't have this reputation yet of being like a paper tiger or, you know, unserious, I guess. Kyle Shanahan, one of the most respected, no?
Yeah, probably it goes definitely. Reed, McVay, Shanahan.
Do you remember we had, this was a while ago, Jeff Fisher came in.
Yeah.
And he said that he talks to everybody in the league, according to Jeff Fisher. And he said nobody respects on offense anyone more than Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah,
he didn't even put Andy Reid there, which was kind of weird. Maybe an oversight.
Not really. I mean, like the Shanahan, it's also part of the tree, right?
Sure. And does the mystique start to come off a little bit if they have another setback year this year?
Well, I mean, they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they should have won it.
I know. And who wore that more than anybody?
Shanahan, I'm telling you, he's really good in the wild card game, the divisional round, pretty good in the conference title game, and then actually he's okay in the conference title game. He's not good in the third and fourth quarter of a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's funny because he has leads.
Yeah, I mean, listen, look at there's so many coaches you can't even get there.
That's true.
Including Sean McDermott, including John Harbaugh the last 10 years.
No, I know it
Mike
all
Tomlin.
Too well.
Mike Tomlin's a Hall of Fame coach, and that dude hasn't won a wild card game in a decade.
Speaking of coaches, top of the hour, we will have the great debate. So just a little tease there. It is going to be something coach-related. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, time for the 49ers to be a little concerned, yes or no. And coming up, we will check in on one of the most interesting quarterbacks in the NFL. Do that next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on Maggie and Perloff. In typical Maggie and Perloff show style, Maggie picks the Niners to go to the Super Bowl, and I am sitting here defending the team for her pure panic. I definitely think that you have in your brain, like, once I make the pick, I have to think negatively about them or the other shoe is going to fall. Because I've noticed that that's how you approach your Bills. If you say anything too nice about the team, that will somehow get to Josh Allen's head and he won't perform as well.
No.
You're very cautious after you make a prediction.
No.
Like, you don't want to jinx anything.
Well, no, I try to just call it like I see it, not let my bias
really
get in.
Well, not with
the
Bills. But with the Bills, will you admit there's... You can't. You're emotional.
The Bills are the reason I have a therapist.
Like, yeah, of course.
The history of that team. Like, if I'm a 49er fan, there are generally a lot of reasons why I think things are going to work out. Like, Right. Not healthy.
That's a great one.
But true.
Yeah.
Everything
can
in
we
moderation.
Get that on? That might actually go on Maggie Gray's tombstone in some form or another. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I really had that, I might have a very serious problem, considering the history. But if I'm a 49er fan, I don't have to be, like, that shrouded. There's not that... Yeah, there's scar tissue recently because you lose in the Super Bowl to the Chiefs, but you were a dynasty. You've done it. You have championship DNA. You know, you're one of the all-time programs in the NFL. So, like, I don't think you have to do the same... It's not the same, like, barbed wire that I have to put up around myself with Buffalo, where you're always kind of waiting for the failure to come. So, no, I think for the 49ers, it's not about my pick necessarily. Although, you know, we love being right, but, like, it's, you know, we can't get out there on the field and impact any of the outcomes.
I don't know. I do see a pattern, though. Actually, after you put something out to the universe, like, you don't... You're not like a, I think you believe that you can affect the outcome of things by where you stand in the kitchen, that kind of thing. Yeah, I think you're a bit superstitious.
So, what's the line from The Office? I'm like very stitious.
I'm not superstitious. I am a little stitious.
I'm a little stitious. I'm beyond superstitious. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I'm trying to let some of that stuff go.
I got this quote. A guy sent me a bunch of positive quotes yesterday. And he said, if you put negative expectations in your own head out there, you will get negative results.
Yes, so isn't this The Secret or whatever? It's like you were trying to manifest the positive things. Yes.
But I'm wired like you. If I make a bet, I immediately think of all the ways it's going to lose. So I should change my thinking and think about all the ways it's going to win. Then the universe will deliver the W.
We can probably take a page from professional athletes on this kind of thing. Where
visualize success.
Absolutely. This is part of what they do. This is part of what makes them, like, the idea of you put negative things behind you and just on to the next play. Like, they have to teach themselves, I think, how to be that way.
So why don't you train yourself to think glass half full about the Niners? Hey, they didn't play well, but they won week one. Hey, their defense looked really good for the first time in a long time. Hey, Christian McCaffrey had a million touches and didn't go on the IR. Like, there's a lot positive to take out of this. Ricky Pearsall.
I'm not superstitious, but... Yeah. I am a little stitious.
Because Brock Purdy's on the injury report. Christian McCaffrey was on the injury report before the game, and then they used him a million times.
Did you see that little guy running around catching passes after getting shot? I mean, there's a lot to be positive here. Ricky Pearsall looked good.
Let's go to, is this Jorge or George? Jorge is in California. Jorge. Good morning, Jorge. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Just getting ready for work.
Wow, up early with the grind. We see you. What do you think about your Niners?
I think that it's a rough first game. I mean, you got to think about this. Seattle is a good defender team with the Ravens, now new head coach, right?
Yeah, Mike McDonald.
You know, yeah, they're a good defensive coach. It wasn't going to be no walk in the park. I think Seattle's going to be better than what a lot of people think. I think the division is going to be between Seattle, us, and the Rams. But I think we're still going to come out on top.
All right. Well, listen, Jorge's being positive there.
He's absolutely right about that Seahawks defense. We talked about this coming into the season. There are a lot of analysts who think that could be the number one defense in the league, and they fly around.
But they downgraded at quarterback. And you saw it in week one. And I know that I have not been high on Sam Darnold. And, you know, he ultimately, the sack fumble ended any possibility of them actually winning that game when they got into field goal range. And I just, you know, Geno's not perfect, but he is better than Sam Darnold. Let's put it this way. I'd rather have Geno than Sam Darnold if I were a GM.
Yeah, maybe. But how does he want to win? He wants a Sharon Moore 24 handoffs in a row and kill you in defense. He was at Michigan, I believe, Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
He's Harbaugh to the core. And what happened in that game? Their running game wasn't just bad. It was terrible. The Kenneth Walker hype, the fantasy football hype around Kenneth Walker just totally dissolved. So say what you want about Sam Darnold. The story of that game was they couldn't run at all. So they would have been a run defense team. Sam wasn't great, but how many throws did he have? Like 22 or something. They didn't let him throw at all.
Let's go to Kevin, is our pal in San Antonio. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I was just listening about the 49ers. Yeah, the 49ers was the team of the of my team of the 80s and stuff. Everything is changing and so forth. But the thing about it, they had a chance to beat Kansas City. They did. They just said, I don't know. You know, Kansas City, it may be the next New England 2.0. But what I think is that the thing is what's hurting the 49ers is the injuries. You know, they're almost on life support. They too many brittle.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Hey, wait,
so
Kevin.
You cannot. Yeah.
Let's get to the real heart of the matter here, which is that Kevin sends us a picture of his breakfast every morning to Maggie and Perloff at gmail.com. And it's one of the great joys of my life, Kevin, so I'm glad that you do it, and I'm entertained by it. Can I just give you one suggestion about the other day?
Yummy.
So you got the waffle slam. It's from Friday. I think that so Kevin's got the two waffles, and he's got the eggs, and he's got the sausage patties. I'm on board with all of this. Did you ever think about just putting it in a sandwich? Did you end up making it into a sandwich there, like a McGriddle kind of thing?
Well, I think I could do that. You know, you gave me a good idea because I got some waffles in there. When I'm gonna send a sandwich to you. I'm just gonna be the waffle slam sandwich.
I love it.
Those are big waffles.
Kevin, thank you, sir. And enjoy that breakfast. Kevin also getting into a little of a spicy omelet phase, I'm also about. The pancakes just look dynamite.
Yeah.
I'm not even really a pancake person. I got a six-year-old in the house, so they're around often.
I love when my daughters order pancakes and I get to eat about 3/4 of it. Oh, it's the best.
I know, but you got to factor it in. It's like
you said, I'm not a pancake person?
No, I don't want to be. Let me put it that way. I don't order them a lot. My kid does, and I always have to factor in when I order my breakfast if we're at a diner or something. Mm-hmm. Like, be careful what I order because I know I'm eating the rest of those pancakes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think pancake is pretty close to ice cream. It's like 100%. I know you don't love ice cream either.
Well, it's just not that I don't love it. It's the easiest thing for me to say no to.
That's weird.
She's so weird.
So weird.
Sorry.
But I think pancakes have 100% approval rating almost. Like, have you ever met anyone who doesn't like pancakes?
I've always indulged in the conversation of a pancake versus waffles.
Yeah, that's the only time there's any negative. Yeah.
But here's
pancakes.
My question, though. Is that what you order? Like, if we went to breakfast, I've been to breakfast with all of you guys. Mm-hmm. No one ever orders the pancakes.
No, we got eggs.
That's because we're not.
I've done it a couple times.
Oh, have you?
We're not nine years old.
Like a whole cake.
We don't have the metabolism of a six-year-old. That's why we don't order pancakes. It's just pure sugar and flour and deliciousness.
Kind of facts around here. Look at those pancakes from Kevin and the bacon on the side.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you send that to Cap so he can put it on the stream, too.
I have a very important pancakes or waffles question because I learned this watching the show Cloak and Dagger. When you hold hands with your partner, do you pancakes or do you waffle?
Oh. Okay, so EJ is showing on the stream, palm to palm.
That's pancakes.
Or do you interlace the fingers?
That's waffles.
Depends. Early girlfriend relationship is definitely the waffle.
Mm. Interlacing the fingers together.
Nah, dog, that's weird.
Married, it's like, why are you doing that? You're making my hand hot. Yeah. Let go.
Sure.
Trust me, EJ, you'll be there in a few years.
Get off of me. No. We're palm to palm people.
Pancakes people. You're officially weird. You've had three weird takes in the past 2 minutes.
Palm to palm is like someone you've never met before.
Yeah, that's like how you hold a child's hand. If you said that, that's how I hold my kid's hand. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Interlace the fingers with your...
Yeah, well, I haven't done it in a minute, but you do it like this, a normal person. You hold on for dear life because that's your person, damn it.
Yeah, Manny is 100% right here.
You guys all interlock the fingers?
Of course. I think so.
Always waffles.
If given the choice, yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that there were two schools of hand-holding, but of course you interlock fingers.
Yeah, Andy and I just hold hands. Like
that almost feels like, if you're in like a church service, you hold the palm when you're singing
Peace
hymns.
Peace be to you.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. Someone you don't know. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Hallelujah.
You know, say hello to your stranger.
Kind of don't want to meet your husband now.
Or a kid. Manny's right. I think that's like if I was to hold my daughter's hand now, I'd hold it palm to palm.
But their hand isn't big enough.
Well, I know it just seems less
romantic.
Kind of.
Interlocking the fingers to me seems
that's
romantic.
Love.
This denotes friendship.
Yeah, that's what I'm still deciding what we're doing.
Folks, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
My kids don't want to hold hands anymore. Like, that passes after a certain age. Like, do your kids still give you a little hand-holding action?
I don't get I don't get, denied or, the shrug or anything. I don't get, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, my kids are now 13 and one just turned 15, believe it or not.
Yeah, I don't think your 15-year-old wants to hold your hand while she's crossing the
street.
No, 15-year-old
won't even talk to me, let alone hold my hand.
You realize you're also in New York City, half the people look at you like it's Belichick and Jordan Hudson.
Yeah. The 13-year-old still is like the baby a little bit. I mean, you're in prime hand-holding territory.
Oh, no, my kid's six. Like, I have to hold his hand like in a parking lot or something.
Oh, right, for safety.
Yeah, absolutely. We're holding hands all the time, but... You know, he also, like, I'll just kind of put the hand out and he'll grab it. It's great.
Can you hold him on your hip, like carry him still?
I can still pick him up, yeah. But I can't, not for long.
Okay. That's all that jogging on the treadmill.
Dude, he's growing like crazy. It's all the pancakes.
Stop feeding him. Yeah.
But
Stop feeding him pancakes, but she finished
the sentence. If I could stop feeding him, my life would be so much easier. He needs to eat constantly. Anyway, you guys think there's something wrong with my marriage because we don't hold hands interlocking?
It's odd. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, do we call it a marriage? It's more like...
a union?
Let's get everything on the line right now.
It's an arrangement.
Yeah, a business agreement.
It's a strong friendship, the way you're describing it.
Let's get Mr. Maggie on the phone right now.
Here's my roommate.
EJ, call him up.
He's my roommate.
I mean, we actually... I've spent a little time around Andy, but the only knowledge we have of Andy is when we were at the kickball tournament and we're all like, oh, how's this game work? And then he is tightening this bandana around his head. He looks like Rambo coming out of the mist, ready to be like, I am about to take you down. So he's very competitive. He might be too focused on something to actually waffle handhold.
Yeah, and Maggie in the background just swooning.
Yeah, which is funny.
His headband.
We're not really that competitive like in real life, but he was that day.
Get out.
Sure.
No, really, we don't play like board games and stuff.
Yeah, you don't play board games because you probably beat each other's throats.
It's not safe.
Yeah. No, it's his brother that we can't. There's a no monopoly rule because of his brother.
Oh, Landry?
It's too intense with it. But,
Wait.
No, my husband has been on the show one time. He called because our basement was flooded. Remember, we needed to check on.
He called on air?
Yeah, he was our basement correspondent.
Wow.
Nice.
Ah, okay.
But Maggie, you just said you're not competitive. We'll do a great debate, like who is the silliest mascot, and you'll prevent a 9-point power presentation. They get mad if you lose the poll.
You are wildly competitive. That's with you guys. Not in my other life.
Can you see her playing like Trivial Pursuit or something and being so competitive?
There's a video. I don't remember why we were like race walking down the hallway, but
yeah, I shoved you guys out of the way.
Yeah, you almost killed Pat Boyle.
Well, Pat had it coming. Anyway, I don't do that at my home.
And by the way, I like that you think the no monopoly rule is about your brother-in-law. That's your version of the story.
I can barely add. It's definitely not about me.
I don't wear
women's perfume.
One other pancake question. Do you guys like blueberries in them, bananas in them, or
I don't discriminate.
Chocolate chips.
Chocolate chips.
Oh, put whatever you want in there.
Or banana. Mm.
Throw some protein in there, too.
I'll tag a question on it. Everybody uses syrup, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh. Whoa, people are doing it dry?
Yes.
Better question. Everyone uses butter, right?
I put butter on. My wife thinks it's weird that I add butter, but I'm like, you have to add butter.
Andrea says the same thing. She's like, I don't need butter on my pancakes. I'm like, how?
What's that white fluffy butter, too, that comes with it? It's like not real butter. It's like enhanced butter.
It's like whipped, though.
Whipped butter.
Oh, whipped butter.
Whipped butter. PD's a butter.
Can I tell you a health tip, too?
Sure.
Don't eat pancakes. Maple syrup comes from trees.
Yeah.
It's basically an organic food. It's basically healthy.
Oh, do you know there's two types of maple syrup? I learned this because I went on a maple syrup tour.
Are they both good for you?
No.
Maple syrup tour.
Yeah. Have a kid. That's the bonus.
Yeah.
One's called pancake syrup.
Okay.
And one's called maple syrup. And it's actually a technical thing. You cannot brand something as maple syrup if it's not like literally from the tree. There's pancake syrup, which is all synthetic.
Oh, right. You don't want that, the stuff from the cheap stuff at the grocery store.
Exactly.
You want the one in the tin can that costs a lot of money.
You want that expensive Canadian stuff.
Yeah. It needs a leaf or a mountain or Vermont on it, something like that. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, like when we're talking about tariffs and stuff, like I was a little worried about my maple syrup connection because we're going through multiple jars.
It's basically a health food. Maple syrup, just like by Halloween theory, that a Reese's peanut butter cup is a protein bar.
Close enough.
Yeah, move over RFK Jr. Here comes Perloff with the Make America Healthy Again.
Just put the maple syrup right on the Reese's.
Yeah. Twix is basically an energy bar. That's where I'm going.
Sounds good to me.
Is anyone starving right now?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, wait.
I always am.
Does anybody want to know that there's free food outside in the newsroom?
Shut up.
Yeah.
What's out there?
Who came?
Like sandwiches. So it's a little early, but it's
7:39 in the morning. Who wants a sandwich?
What, like a beef? When you come to kiss Boomer's ring, you got to come before 10 a.m.
Can't Fair any enough. Breakfast people kiss Boomer Esiason's ring?
What ring?
See, cut this that is why we don't podcast. Get sandwich. Yeah, dump that.
We do not bring up Joe Montana ever. JT's in Atlanta quickly. JT, how do you hold hands with your significant other? Do you interlace the fingers or just palm to palm?
You have to interlace the fingers if you're an adult. I think if you're palm to palm, you're either arm wrestling, praying, or holding a kid's hand. That's not how adults show intimacy when they hold hands. It's like you're like trying to get away from somebody, you know, like that's just not a level of intimacy for an actual couple, I would say, when you go palm to palm. That's more of a stranger type of deal. And then on the pancake, Maggie, me and you usually vibe on all this stuff. But today, we're just like totally opposite. Pancakes? I mean, if you don't like pancakes for breakfast, like I'm one of those things like you're not American. Like if you don't do the maple syrup, the little snow cone of little butter thing that goes on top of it, and a nice couple fluffy pancakes, with milk or water.
JT, it's not that I don't like them. I eat my kids that are left over. And by the way, if you add a little like ginger ale or bubbly water to your pancake mix.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard that.
Pro tip, JT, thank you.
What?
I'm sorry. By the way, I feel like I'm
fizzy water.
Carbonation to the batter.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, one more thing. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm picking on Maggie and psychologically. Fine. Why does every caller say every time like Maggie, I almost always agree with you and disagree with Perloff, but this one time, I'm gonna, like, everybody says, like, Maggie, I always agree with you, but that's the worst take ever, and I never agree. We get that all the time. Like, JT's like, I'm always on the same page with you, except this time. So do they not call in when they're on the same page?
I don't know.
They just nod knowingly in the car the whole
time. Like, EJ, you screen the calls. Yeah. Does everyone say, like, I'm usually with Maggie, but not this time? We get a lot of that. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of. I never agree with Perloff, but I'm with Andrew on this.
Always the preface.
Yeah. I think people have this overall vibe, which is fair. Sorry, I got distracted.
What is that vibe?
By the way, JT nailed it, though. He's like, there are three things you do to pancake. Praying.
Arm wrestling.
Holding a kid's hand.
All right. I'll have to talk to Andy about this.
What if he was like, ew, that's gross?
If he says that's gross, you guys have to go see a counselor.
You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking, actually, this is my fault. Uh-huh. Because I'm thinking back to now the beginnings of our relationship when you're just starting to hold hands. I think he was trying to interlace, and I think I'm the one who went palm to palm.
You interlace blocked him.
I friend might zone. Have.
Well, listen.
Friend zone.
If you guys are on a walk, he's got other stuff on his mind. He's got to avoid getting stepped on by those giant size nines. So he can't, like, he needs his space, right? If he's holding hands, he's risking a major
He's
foot
holding
injury.
On for dear life.
Yeah.
So he's a stronger grip and the fingers don't do it.
I mean, no offense, but you can't interlock, I mean, with a clown. Interlocking with a clown with the big red shoes, you're not interlocking.
Also, the ground's shaking slightly underneath him. Yeah.
There's a lot going on if you and your husband are on a walk.
We don't hold hands a lot. Come to think of it. Yeah,
you are married. I've been married for a while. Why would you hold hands?
I have my huge, gigantic feet that are so freakishly large. Yep. All right, folks, hang out, will you? We need some headlines. We didn't do anything there.
No, we did a lot.
And yet we did everything.
We did everything, actually.
All right, go.
We might have broken your marriage, but back to sports.
And we found out there's sandwiches in the break room. EJ, you want to put the poll question up? Do you interlace the fingers or go palm to palm with a significant other?
Yeah. You might do an image to explain it, too.
Yeah, that's good. A visual.
Yeah.
Clearly not from my relationship. You're not getting the interlock.
It's not going to be on Maggie's camera roll, I'll tell you that.
Nope. Okay, coming up, Aaron Rodgers and headlines next. Where did that conversation start?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice job, Manny. Question for you today. Do you hold
I get it.
Do you hold hands with your significant other like interlace the fingers? That's called waffle, apparently. Or do you just hold hands palm to palm? That's called pancakes.
Yeah, and EJ just threw that out there. It seems like, EJ, you've thought about this before or read about it before.
I watched that show, Cloak and Dagger, and every time waffles and pancakes come up, I bring it up, and it always results in a 10-minute conversation every time.
Mm-hmm.
It is just like no one thinks about it until you think about it. And usually, if you're a normal couple, you're like, oh, yeah, well, you do the interlocking fingers. And then I met Maggie today.
Yeah, my husband and I don't interlock our fingers when we hold hands. And apparently, I'm the weirdo. Let's get to Bogish, who's got headlines for us.
And these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com.
You see a little wee-wee.
In Saturday's Kansas-Missouri game, the Tigers were flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct after their first touchdown. The yardage assessed on the ensuing kickoff, before which Mizzou head coach Eli Drinkwitz asked if they could punt instead of kicking off like the tee, like usual, knowing the rule book didn't actually allow that.
We just wanted to see if we could. You know, it's like asking your parents if you can do something that you know they probably shouldn't let you do, but sometimes they get it wrong.
So like cross the street without holding your mom's hand?
Yeah. What if one of your players did something like that? You might not think it's so funny.
But they knew they couldn't do it. They asked anyway, and the official said, sure, punt away. So they punted. That's illegal. And the Big 12 has removed this crew from its assignment for this weekend as punishment.
I saw that the crew got removed. Yes. I'm like, that seems a little crazy.
I don't know. Like, it's one thing to, like, just miss a call. Like, oh, that should have been pass interference, whatever. But when you can't like administer the rule book correctly and you get tricked by a coach, you should probably sit a weekend out.
Okay, but what are they going to do that weekend? Cram reading the rule book? Like, no, they're going to either like ban them for the season and be like, you got to go back to the minor leagues or something, or back to high school. I don't know. Like, what's going to happen in a week? They're all of a sudden going to become smarter?
I mean, hopefully, but I'm almost all for accountability.
Sure.
Whether it gets you to right place, whatever, but this at least is them righting a wrong, so to speak.
Well, I mean, college football officiating is not in a great place, I would say.
No.
They look clueless up and down. I mean, also, too, there's a lot of confusion about replay. Like, I think they rely on replay a lot. And I don't know. They always seem like, I don't know. I get a lot of I don't know looks in college football. But and the NFL is
a lot
not,
of shrugging.
I don't know
the
if the NFL
judge.
Right now is that far ahead. It's a really hard sport to officiate.
I had my first football game this past weekend, and there was a targeting call. And as we know, like, they call targeting, and then it goes to review, and they have to confirm every single like bullet point for it to be targeting. So this hit happens. It looks like targeting, and they review it for forever, and they come back, and they go, no targeting. So when the game is over, we're leaving, I'm walking past the booth where the replay guy sits. And we were talking before the game, so I went back over and I said, hey, just wondering, why wasn't that targeting? Because it was very clear and everyone was confused. And he goes, well, we couldn't confirm contact. And I looked at him like, oh. I mean, I saw the player's head move. I saw the other player's helmet make his head move. And for him to go, we couldn't confirm contact, it was like a startling sentence. And I don't know how to, I was like, good thing I'm not a coach, because I would be freaking out right now if that was the explanation I got.
Is it the same guy for the review for every game, or does it?
It's the same guys, because it's like, I think it's a geographical kind of assignment thing. So, but it's not always the same person.
It's probably why you guys lost by 21.
Yeah.
One of the reasons.
Was that argument maybe hit his shoulder, not his head, like not helmet to helmet? Because that happens a lot where it looks like it's helmet to helmet. Then you see the helmet goes in his shoulder or the chest.
But the rule says it doesn't have to be helmet to helmet. It's any forcible contact to the player's head. It can be a forearm, shoulder, helmet. It was just very...
Oh, wait, but the helmet sometimes snaps back. Even if you get hit in the chest, it looks like your helmet.
Yeah, no, it looked like it was...
But it was definitely helmet to helmet comment. Ugh.
Or maybe I'm dumber and more blind than I think.
Who did Fordham lose to?
It doesn't matter.
They lost
everyone.
To Monmouth University. But it was better than Boston College.
Thankfully, it was better than Boston College.
That final score was 66-10.
Yeah, but I'll remind you, too, that Boston College is an ACC team Monmouth is not.
Actually, we got an email, speaking of Maggie and Perloff at gmail.com. It's not just for Kevin to send us a picture of his breakfast every morning, although we do like that. Matt had sent an email over the weekend that said, look at the scores from Saturday's college football. 62-14, 63-9, 69-3, 70-0, 73-0, 77-3. Seriously, should beating up on little sister the poor even count as a win? Maybe a mercy rule is needed to protect the players. Stop the game at halftime. That's Matt in NorCal.
No. I mean, listen, Oregon was up 69-3 in the third quarter, and they did.
They stopped.
They just stopped.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. I mean, you're paying all this money to these little schools to do this.
But you
this.
Can still pay the money. It's
yeah, for
just...
half. But you go to the stadium, you want to see, say, you want to see Alabama play. That's not fair. To
I get, think they do like running clock, and yeah. I think maybe 10-minute quarters. I think with some of these blowouts when that happens. Might not be in every conference, but I know they do it somewhere.
I saw one game, fourth quarter was 8 minutes long. I forgot which game it was, though.
An FBS team was in this
yeah.
game?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Top of the hour. It's Wednesday, which means the great debate. We got a good one for you today. Really, really fun. It has to do with coaches. We'll do that next. M&P.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.